Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. This is a petty show all the time, but we really channel our pettiness hardcore at 8 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. Just feels right.
This is where we really lean into all of the worst parts of our personality.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or the best. Get a lot of compliments on the Pettycast when I'm out about town, Seth. They really enjoy this segment, the people.
Right.
Yep. Let's start with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, he's the head coach at North Carolina right now. The University of North Carolina Tar Heels. He's the head football coach there. He does not allow Patriot scouts on campus. This story was making the rounds, and he was asked about it after his game on Saturday.
To comment on that and provide some sort of explanation on that.
Yeah, well, no, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, and so they're not welcome in ours. Pretty simple.
Okay, pretty simple.
Honestly, man, I want to applaud the pettiness, and yet at the same time, man, I don't know if I've ever seen a better example of how some really effective football coaches also have a really good way of basically telling everybody in the organization it's about the team, the team, the team, when really it's actually all about themselves too. Boy, this is such an extreme version of making it all about yourself at the expense of the kids that are, it's to their benefit to be seen by as many scouts as possible, that you'd like your coach to be able to have conversations with scouts about how you're a good kid, all these other things. And recruiters are going to use this against him so effectively.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times that's oversold, but my God, it's one of the most selfish, egocentrical things I've ever heard. It's unbelievable.
That would be enough for me to tell my kid not to go play there. You know,
This guy clearly doesn't care about the kids.
Right.
He cares about his own ego.
And it's over something stupid like this.
Look, all this stuff with him and his girlfriend or any of the other stuff that goes on, whatever, like, that's okay, whatever. This is something that this actually has to be part of the story of the legacy of Bill Belichick. This is some petty ass.
It's huge petty
stuff. Yeah.
It's huge petty. And this is a head coach whose whole sales pitch to kids is come play for this and basically collegiate NFL program that we have. I mean, he said that was what he was creating in North Carolina. Now, for what it's worth, Mike Vrabel on his radio show on Monday on WEEI, he does a hit on WEEI, our sister station up in Boston, he refuted what Belichick said. He's allowed in the building.
Is Bill Belichick welcome here? And were you surprised that he didn't allow the scouts onto campus to scout his players?
Again, nothing surprises me. I would imagine that that Bill, I mean, he came back for, the best of my knowledge, Tom's ceremony, so that he's welcome back based on the fact that he was there. So I'll just go by that. Since his departure as the head coach here, he's been back, and I'll leave it at that.
And therefore, he is allowed in the building.
I mean, Belichick kind of is pulling a Portnoy here, right?
Yeah.
Where, Portnoy, they claimed that Portnoy wasn't allowed in the Ohio State Stadium, but nobody was really sure if that was the case or whatever.
Yep.
Which, I don't know, maybe this does come back to the girlfriend somehow. Hey, you want to get some buzz?
Yeah.
You know, claim you're not allowed somewhere.
Yeah.
Look at what it did for Portnoy.
This Portnoy guy's getting a lot of attention right now.
I do. Honestly, man, I'd love to be petty about this, but I'm starting to get kind of sad about just guys like Urban Meyer or Bill Belichick just making a mockery out of their final act.
Yeah.
Sean, if any other coach had said something like this and he didn't have all the pelts on the wall, I don't know if you couldn't take him seriously.
He'd be laughed out of the building.
You just couldn't take him seriously.
Yep.
It's so selfish. Petty. Good job. He might. I mean, he might be the all-time winner of the Petty Cast.
If we were doing winners, if there was a Petty belt that we did, like Take a Mania, he'd be the winner right now. Although this is pretty good. Aaron Rodgers asked after the Steelers, after he engineered a 34-32 win over his former team, the Jets, he was reminded by a media member of his face-to-face meeting with Aaron Glenn, where Aaron Glenn basically told Aaron Rodgers, "We don't want you anymore." Yeah. Here's what this sounded like.
Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Not quite as petty as Belichick, but you can tell, you can see the petty swirling.
Yeah,
the
pettiness here really comes too, because Aaron was treated very much like a diva the entire time he was there, and they kowtowed to everything that Aaron Rodgers wanted, whether it's aging or ineffective wide receivers, whomever it might be, his hand selected offensive coordinator who nobody respects as an offensive coordinator, all of those things, and yet that is the epitome of pettiness. It still found ways to feel wronged in that situation.
He did.
Yes.
He did.
Good for you, Aaron Rodgers.
Way to go.
You remain petty.
You are.
Yet also, by virtue of, you know, him having gone on all of these spiritual journeys, he's egoless, and it very much inflates his ego to be able to say that he's egoless.
He's egoless, the irony of the whole thing.
He's got so little ego that he's got the largest ego in the room.
Very meta. Yes, for sure. All right, this was yesterday, Steve Sarkisian. If you missed it, Arch Manning had a follow-up to his abysmal effort in his first start of this season. First game, really, as the face of UT football. We know how that went. 7 points in Columbus. Did not look good. Got right against San Jose State. Had a really nice game against San Jose State, but was caught after a couple of plays, kind of wincing after throwing, which has led to speculation that maybe Arch is dealing with a shoulder. That's why his mechanics have been so sloppy. He's dealing with some sort of shoulder issue. Steve Sarkisian was asked about this yesterday. The wincing of Arch Manning on film, is he dealing with something right now?
Arch Manning seemed to be having some throwing pains by the
according to
quarter.
Who?
Arch.
Arch said that to you?
No.
Oh, according to who?
It just looked like he was.
He doesn't have any.
Is there an explanation to why he was? It looked like that.
I don't know. I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Okay. So that was Sark. Sark with the snark.
I still don't.
Never filmed any of you taking a dump before.
You know, that's where I felt like he went a little too far with he went a little too far out there. He's like, I don't know, I've never watched you guys. Maybe you could say, I've never watched you guys, you know, in the weight room or something to see how you look when you're lifting weights. I don't know. Tell me if I'm right on this. So is it like if you're having a bowel movement or something, he doesn't know, are your facial expressions telling you whether
it's a tough
one or not? Maybe
you make a face, you know, if it's a tough one to squeeze out of there. You know, you're making a face. You know, Arch is just, it's a natural bodily function, him throwing a football the same way it's the natural bodily function for guys like me and you to, you know, do a number two.
What is it about the University of Texas head football coaches that can't stop making the bathroom newsworthy items? You remember Tom Herman's hydration chart?
Yeah, the shades
like
of the urine
today and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a connoisseur of analogies, I'm going to give him, I'm going to give him an A for effort. Okay. I think he was trying to go out there. He was trying to go out there on a limb. I just don't know if he chose
that. Definitely
the right
petty
way,
though, right? Like, I'm not giving you an answer to Arch's, oh, who told you that? And the guy made the mistake of going, Arch.
You should have seen it. Like, I don't know, man. I don't like. Let's judge your facial expressions on your wife while you have relations with her. How are you grading those? You know, is she having a good time? I don't know.
That would have been a good boy. If Sark did that, that would have made waves.
She making the same faces she does when she's with me? That's what I would have said.
Then there you go. All right. Next one. Let's stay with college football because it's so much fun. This was Alabama fan Susie Connerly walking out of a convenience store, presumably in Alabama, and they were doing one of these news hits where, you know, the Powerball's up to 1.8 billion or something like that. So they're finding randos walking out of the convenience store, and, you know, they do this like once a month. Hey, what are you going to do if you win the money? Well, Susie Connerly, what are you going to do if you win the money in the Powerball?
I'll tell you exactly what I'd do with the first $70 million. I'd pay off Kalen DeBoer and get him the heck out of the University of Alabama, and then I'd take whatever else it took to get rid of the AD. So I'd give him a church money. I don't know how much of what I'd have, you know, after I paid my taxes. But I'm sure I'd have plenty with this kind of deal, but I know I'm not going to win. I just hope I win some scratch-offs. I just do it for the fun.
The buyout's $70 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't think she... I hope for her sake she doesn't win the...
What is the Powerball at
It was up over a billion earlier, last week. I don't play it, so I don't know, but it was up over a billion.
She would be fine.
I think she would, too. You know, a billion, so after taxes, you're down to about 600 milli. Oh, yeah, you'll be fine, man. Tithe to the church, she just said. You know, I got to pay my church. I'm assuming she's a good Christian tither, so there's another 60 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tithe before taxes or after taxes? I don't know.
I think it's before taxes.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it's tax deductible, actually.
Up to a point, yeah.
So Susie Connerly would buy out Kalen. Boy, poor Kalen DeBoer, man. Alabama's 18th in the AP poll right now, and I feel like that is a... If I could pick one program that is going to wind up 7-5 this year, that's in the top 25 right now, the SEC has 11 teams in the top 25 right now. I mean, that's damn near the whole conference is in the top 25.
Do you think DeBoer would actually? Or do you think she would actually do that? Do you think she'd actually buy out DeBoer? If would people hold her to that?
She committed to it. It's a verbal contract. She committed to it on TV to all the Alabama fans.
Yeah, once she threw her tithing in with it too, I feel like she would feel morally obligated to do it.
Yeah, she's still.
I'm gonna help this billion-dollar entity reverse a mistake that they made and give my own hard-won cash to them.
Yeah.
Good for her.
It wouldn't just be DeBoer getting out of there. She'd probably have some say-so as to who the next head coach would be.
That's true. You donate that much money, she's going to have a building named
after. That's what I was going to say. They're going to put her name on something on campus, you know?
So yeah.
That might be worth it, man. Immortalize it. And every descendant of hers from now until the end of time will not only get into Alabama, but they will get their choice of dorm. They will get their choice of meal plan. They'll get everything, man.
Yeah. She buys herself immortality.
Immortality.
Which in reality, at best, is like 1,000 years and probably less. But yeah, immortality or whatever fantasy you pretend to believe. Yeah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's skip down. Let's go to Bill Burr, Ben, because Bill Burr is funny. He was on the Rich Eisen show. And speaking of Belichick again, Belichick works his way back into the petty cast. The first thing Rich Eisen brings up with Bill Burr, noted Chowd, noted Bostonian, big Patriots fan, was, hey, check out Bill Belichick's debut at the University of North Carolina.
Anyway, let's get into it, man. Let's get into what he couldn't even wait until I came out here. Go ahead and ask me.
What'd you think of Bill Belichick's first game as head coach of North Carolina?
What'd you think of Joe Namath on the Rams? What'd you think of Johnny Unitas on the Chargers? What happened to that guy? What do you think of Lewis Hamilton driving a Ford Pinto since when? Mm-hmm. Is the University of North Carolina even in the conversation of a college football powerhouse?
Not at all.
Exactly.
And still not right now.
Exactly. He's driving a you know, a mid-sized car, and he's going to try to, you know, he's got some curb finders on it. Can he have more than one game? Oh, look at that. Look at the look, you know, that look on his face. Like, you guys, all this says to me is how much it bothered you that for 20 years, you couldn't even enjoy the greatest NFL head coach of all time. Yeah. Did you see him lose the first game?
No. Here's where I'm petty towards Bill Burr, and I like Bill Burr. I think he's really funny. Yeah, not many of us were enjoying that. The Patriots dominating. You couldn't even enjoy the greatest head coach of all time. No, because I didn't like the team he coached.
Yeah, people hated it. Right. Yeah. I'm not delighting in it or anything, but it's to act like it's not a story. Yeah. And Burr is 100% correct. It depends on how bad it goes at UNC. Because Urban Meyer you could say, well, who's really going to remember that he was with the Jaguars? I don't know, man. It was so bad with the Jaguars, and because it became such a circus, that I think it does. They are going to bring it up. It's going to be brought up for a long time with Urban Meyer, depending on which circles you're in. If I Belichick, by way of being on the Pettycast just a few minutes ago, I don't know. This could end up, if he keeps spiraling out of control, hey, they beat Charlotte 20-3. They picked themselves up off the mat and then beat Charlotte. I don't know. I think it's going to be a more considerable footnote to his career than, say, Joe Namath with the Rams or other kind of, Jerry Rice with the Seahawks or whatever it might be.
Yep. You know what I'm petty about? And petty in terms of, like, I'm really happy this happened? The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, Seth, I just saw this story. This story just dropped late yesterday. Has refused 4 trademark applications filed by Bill Belichick and his companion, Jordan Hudson, saying the phrases they attempted to trademark would cause a likelihood of confusion with previously filed ones. So we know that the Patriots hold the trademark rights to do your job, ignore the noise, the Belistrator, and no days off.
Yeah.
The Patriots own the rights to those phrases.
Yeah.
Jordan Hudson, the manager of TCE Rights Management, filed to secure several trademarks, including these 4. Do your job, Bill's version. Ignore the noise, Bill's version. The Belistrator, Bill's version. No days off, Bill's version. I take away from this that Jordan Hudson is a Swiftie. That's my...
So for those of you who don't know, that's how Taylor Swift got back control of her cat. She had sold her catalog and ended up just wanted to gain back control. So she re-recorded all of the music, and because Taylor of a Swift. Tweak in the contract that she'd had, she was able to basically take back possession of a brand new catalog. So that's what he's doing.
By putting Taylor's version after each of the songs.
By putting Taylor's version at the end of it.
Yeah.
So this will be, I don't like seeing him go out like this. I have a hard time. Are you feeling petty about watching him go out like this?
I love watching him go out like this.
You do.
The shot on the sidelines from the game that he lost, the TCU game, where the Tar Heels are warming up before the game, and she's down there on the sidelines, like, clearly it looked like irking him down there.
And he walked out on the field. It looked like he could not get far enough out onto that football field to get away from whatever she was talking to him about.
Is this worth it?
You know what it is? I guess there's a part of it. It's like, man, I hope when I get to that age, I don't want to act that way. I don't know. That's the part where I have a hard time leaning into the pettiness. The guy's done some incredible things in his life, and now he's just turning it into a clown show in a lot of ways.
I know. It's awesome.
And you love it.
I love
good for you. You're so much better at this than I am. I'm so weak. I'm going to give me a pep talk next week.
Okay.
In the days leading up to the Pettycast.
A petty pep talk. Yes.
I failed the Pettycast. I apologize to everybody.
You're good. All right, there's your petty cast. Text in your petty. Someone texted in, fun fact, there's a hashtag petty cast. Laremy Tunsil had 0 penalties. Not true. He had a holding penalty on a play that he allowed a sack. So they may have declined
it.
He
does that. And also, this is the other thing. He had the opposite of a false start. He had a play in which the center snapped the ball.
Stood.
3 other offensive linemen started pass protecting. Laremy Tunsil stayed in his stance.
He was making sure he was not going to get a false start.
And I got to go back and look for the quotes after the game. Because if I know Laremy Tunsil, you know whose fault it was?
Center.
It was the center. Even though 4 other guys knew what the snap count was, somehow it's going to be the center's fault.
God, yeah. I'm so glad he's not here. All right. But
he didn't have a great game, and it was versus. I mean, the Giants have some good pass rushers, but we'll see. I mean, I'm like, the Commanders beat the Giants. Huge shocker, right there. We'll see how it goes.
Is CJ Stroud starting to let his frustration show a little bit? I've got some numbers that might back up why he's frustrated, and why Texan fans are a little frustrated. We'll get to that coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.